Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Show 1079, I think. There's so much crap going on over the last couple of weeks. Welcome, as we're ready to sit down and get down for a little bit with the chefs and yours truly for a session of Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. I'm yours, Michael Lewis, and I'm DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNewsroom.com and the Assassins, the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how right now at www.basnewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Rebel Man Network coming online in 2020. Radio Reggie, coming out of Richmond, Virginia. Ricky Hampton Sr., our brother, host of the African Athlete Show, African-American Athlete Show, pardon me, Tuesdays, 9 p.m., Ricky and Mike on, doing their thing and doing it well. You can also check out their great stuff at their website, the AfricanAmericanAthlete.com, www, that is. Of course, Pat Finger and Mighty Ova, cranking out a great podcast. Today, part two of his exclusive interview with Evander Real Deal Holyfield. Thanks for coming by. And, of course, you can hear Pro Talk on our exciting weekends. Now, we've had a lot to take, and we've had a lot to dish out over the course of the year. It has been a bit of a wear on nerves to know some of the stuff that we talked about earlier is coming to fruition. And as the NFL has tried to pipe up all season long their 100th year, it's significant. They named their all whatever team, and, you know, we're not going to argue who's on it because they've already decided what they want. And players on there, of course, most of them we agree with, and there's some are like, huh? But it doesn't matter. Their biggest problem in this whole season has been trying to carve the argument around nice. And when I say nice, I mean like the best in the MVP category. Now, of course, it's emerged that General Jackson, Lamar Jackson, that is, will likely be the MVP. But we know that sometimes they will adjust and adapt in a negative way to suit their own interests. But if we look at what General Jackson has done, he has made it easier now for anybody else coming down the pipe who wants to be a quarterback, to stay a quarterback. As much of a revelation as this has been about Jackson and his abilities, we know there are a shitload, plethora, use whatever adjective you will, of brothers who came down the pike not just wanting to play quarterback, but suited to play quarterback. Like it's their best position, but it has never stopped the opposition from fronting and dealing with the reality that they couldn't possibly want to be a quarterback, or that they really think that we'll allow them to be a quarterback in the NFL. Now, we've seen many of them. And I say many of them, I mean all the brothers that are rocking it right now. I mean, shit, even Jameis Winston, for as many interceptions as he's thrown, I believe he's less than 100 yards away from throwing for 5,000 yards in a season. Now think about that. You know, they've talked about how Drew Brees is Mr. 5,000 yards because he's always going for this and that and all of that, but Jameis Winston has had some really weird games. There are times where he is like, fuck, he's throwing more interceptions than touchdowns and still won the game. Or he gets in these bizarre shootouts. I'm thinking about the one against the Rams where he threw a couple of picks that ended up kicking the Rams' ass by at least 13, throwing for 456 yards. Okay, so General Winston, well, he's not a general yet because he hasn't gotten his team into the postseason. He's at a crossroads. Well, he's a lieutenant. He's at a crossroads. Can he take it to the next level? Because he's still young in terms of NFL age. And, well, he's got the tools, obviously, arm-wise. Let's not forget that Peyton Manning threw 24 or 26 interceptions his first year. I have to double-check those stats. And Pro Football Reference is great at that. But, you know, Peyton threw a shitload of interceptions his first year. But that was his first year. By the third year, he had it cleaned up and he was better. Jameis knows that he, or if he doesn't, he should know, the lifeline is not going to be as strong or as significant when it comes to him. And that somebody will pull the plug on his black ass in a heartbeat, quicker than you can say crab legs. But I digress. We move on through this process and we see the greatness of General Mahomes, who's already in, General Watson, down there in Houston, who's quietly doing what he does. General Brissett, who didn't make it to the playoffs, so he's a general. And he may be out of the mix this year, but considering what he had to work with, he performed nobly. And you don't get the impression that someone is going to say that Jacoby Brissett is like, eh. No, Jacoby Brissett is a good quarterback. He may need better pieces around him, but he can win games for you. So I think they're convinced with that. Well, they were probably convinced, with some of them were probably convinced with that on the notion that Belichick had him starting. So, well, if the God says so, well, you know, it must be so. So General Brissett, he's set. So we look at this. Jackson, Mahomes, Watson, Brissett, all rocking it in the AFC. You have General Wilson, who will be dueling against San Francisco Sunday night. General Prescott. And you got to think, they're not going to pay him that money. I mean, Jerry Jones has been waiting for an excuse. He surely has one. If he franchises him, it's probably somewhere in the high teens to mid-20s. So he's not going to get the long-term money. And, of course, Cam, who's been sitting on the sidelines in Carolina, who will likely be going elsewhere, that's three more. So the brothers are starting to make it clear. And then, of course, young Haskins in Washington, where that redneck Gruden finally off his back. So now he's going to sink or swim on his own, and I would not be surprised if Washington dropped a little surprise bomb on the Cowboys Sunday. He does have one receiver who came with him from Ohio State that he has a rapport with, and the Speedy McLaurin. So don't be surprised if the upset bomb drops in Dallas. So regardless of what they would have did or not did against Philadelphia, they would have been trick bag and Jerry would have been really pissed. So it seems that the climate, or at the very least the color of the climate, is changing at quarterback. There's at least one quarterback, the brother from Oklahoma, Hurts, I believe his name is, who will be among those available for next year's draft. And of course, Mel Kiper and Todd McNugget will do everything in their power to kick him in the ass financially and say what he can't do to try to hurt his money, as they've been doing for years with other black athletes. You know, they made fun of it now on YouTube about how these are the guys that Mel Kiper missed on, and they'll run off 10 of them or something like that, but he's missed on a lot. I mean, how many agents, would you say? Sent a little casual buzz by Kuiper and said, well, you know, somebody's rising up the charts as he's cashing the check. And they talk about the guy. And the next thing you know, they get drafted. You know? I'm not saying that there may be some alleged kickback and raw, but, you know, there's no difference between what Kuiper and McNugget and others do than it was back in the days of payola in the record business, where if you wanted to record play, it was going to have to be passed through. You had to give the DJs a little some before they would put it on. It's called payola. And as I say this, my man, Mr. Biggs, Gary Norris Gray, is in the fray. What's up, G?
Boy, you hit it right on the head. You hit it right on the head. I mean, you have a guy, LSU.
Mm-hmm.
LSU, good quarterback. Good quarterback.
Mm-hmm. The kid Burrow.
And McNugget, whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it. I remember it clear as day.
Yep.
He said last year, LSU quarterback was a third or fourth round pick.
Remember that? Yes, that's right, yes.
Okay. Third season started. What did McNugget say? He's a first rounder. He might be the first pick in the draft. How can you go from third or fourth rounder to number one pick in 1 year? How do you do that?
Yep. Yeah, there's definitely something rotten in the cotton on that, G. No question. But you know what? I think more evident is the fact now that they can't hide what they're doing anymore.
No.
You know, like, okay, we're gonna hear their explanations now, or maybe not immediately now, but before next season. You know.
Yep.
Who among these so-called experts pegged Lamar Jackson to be an MVP? You know, none of them. They were too busy trying to tear him down, and maybe some of them were not as obvious as Bill Polian. But they were all like, this motherfucker ain't going to make it. We're going to do everything we can to talk his money down. You know, in New Orleans, Teddy Bridgewater is sitting back thinking, you motherfuckers, look what you tried to pull.
Yep.
And all Teddy Bridgewater did was go 5-0.
Yep.
Subbing for Drew Brees. Now, the question down there, and I know my little sis Jenny Thibodeau might be listening to this, are they really going to go with Bridgewater to replace Drew Brees as the heir apparent? Or will they use the other kid, Taysom Hill, who is like this little anything back, instead?
No, Michael.
Yes.
Michael, what the New Orleans Saints are going to do, this is what they're going to do. They're going to put their visitor up for sale. That's what they're going to do, right?
Okay.
Now, you have five teams. You have five teams that need a quarterback. Five.
Right.
Now, my question to them is, Do you want to win?
Yeah.
Because most teams, or most people, want to win the game, as I already said, right?
Right, that's right.
So, David Bridgewater has proven that he can get a job done. That's the question. Do you want a quarterback or not?
Yeah.
Cleveland, are you listening?
Tennessee, are you listening? Well, actually, Tennessee
San Diego, are you listening?
Well, to answer that question, G, before we answer that question, please let everybody know who we are in case they forgot.
I gotta get up here. I gotta go to a meeting this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I just got back in.
No problem.
Just got back in.
Happy holidays, by the way.
But we got a problem, man. This has become a real issue. And African Americans got to take it up.
Mm-hmm.
Real.
No, it's become more important because
for almost two decades, the Black Athlete Sports Network has served as the definitive source for information about the black athlete. Whether it be historical or analytical, BASN has always celebrated the contributions of sports' most innovative and unique being, the black athlete. In 2016, as we relaunch blackathlete.com, look for more of the same from our unique set of writers and historians. We have been and always will be the soul of sports. We are BASN.
We are BASN.
Yes, we are. Going into the new decade, let's answer your question first, G. If you're talking about the guys who are left in Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill has had people believe he can play quarterback. Now, he has had the assistance of a powerful running game. Thank you, Derrick Henry, and I forget who the other brother is. Yeah, but Tennessee grounds it out. And they can beat you that way because Tannehill does not have to put himself in jeopardy. Tannehill is not going to be the kind of quarterback that will have to throw 40 times in a game because Tennessee is a ground clock type of offense that if they're on their game, the other quarterback will never see the field but so often because they will eat up clock and they will do damage. So you can cover Tannehill's flaws up like that. You don't have to use him often, but when you use him, he can be effective. As far as Cleveland's concerned, Cleveland is just a clusterfuck waiting to happen because they know now.
That area.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, how can you have an organization that cannot see anything right? Nothing.
Yeah.
All the way down to the water boy.
It's true. There's a reason why Cleveland is called the mistake by the lake. And it is because, in this case with the Browns, because of their front office and their desire, their fervent desire, to find the next great white hope. And all they've come up with is some great white dopes. Now, they had a brother in there, but Spurgeon went, never really got a chance to get his game off, and he was not prepared. It's one thing to get picked. You got to be ready for prime time. You have to have the mentality to win, literally. And, unfortunately, Spurgeon wasn't ready. But now you look at who's left, you hit on the head with Burrow. This kid came out, not out of nowhere necessarily, but he knows he's getting paid, you know. There's no question. He knows he is set for life. When he walks up to wherever they're going to be next year as a draft. So,
Wait, stop. Mm-hmm. Michael, the scenario is getting better and better. All right, listen. Johnny Manziel, right?
Yep.
He didn't get paid, right?
Yep.
So what does he do? He walks across the stage, clicking his little fingers, all that kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the powers that be told Burroughs, look, don't act stupid.
That's right.
Don't get cocky. Do your job.
Yep.
Because they learned from Manziel. Mm-hmm. They learned from Mayfield.
Sure.
How to act out. So this guy's over LSU.
You're right about that.
What I mean is, he will not be cocky.
No, you're right.
He will not be pussy.
You're right. He will be far more Peyton Manning than Johnny Manziel. I guarantee
that's
that.
That's right. That's right.
But let's go back to the Mayfield thing, because I want to juxtapose that with General Jackson. Remember, Polian said that Jackson was short. Jackson 6'3". Baker Mayfield is barely 6 feet. We saw that. You know? But did anybody say anything about Baker Mayfield being too short? No. Because they use Russell Wilson as his guideline. Shit, Baker Mayfield, he can dream for years and never wake up thinking he's going to be as good as Russell Wilson. But I digress. But Jackson at 6'3 and 215 pounds was considered slight. Since when did they ever worry about a quarterback's weight? You had one fat motherfucker in the league for a long time named Jarrett Lorenzen. Remember him? 300 pounds. I don't know where he is. He probably ate his offensive line and whatnot. So I don't know if the guy's still around. But nobody said anything about his size, saying he was too heavy to play quarterback. There's always excuses. And I think we have to always remember, with excuses come responsibility. Because even if you make the excuse, you have to be responsible for what caused the excuse in the first place. You know, we're going to give everybody a Smoltry Radio exclusive preview of next year's draft. Chris here, my man, Dave Chappelle.
Good evening and welcome to the first and maybe only racial draft here in New York City. Folks, this is for all the marbles. What happens here will state the racial standing of these Americans once and for all.
That's right. And the crowd is here to support their races.
Well, Rob, some of the biggest names in sports and in entertainment are on the line tonight. And I'm excited to see who's going to be drafted by which race. Seated behind me on the stage there are the various representatives, and believe it or not, the blacks have actually won the first pick.
Wow, that's the first lottery a black person's won in a long time, Billy.
Yes, and they'll probably still complain.
Man, fuck you. Well, the black representative is heading to the microphone now. Why don't we take a listen?
Biggest black delegation. Shoot Tiger Woods.
No surprises there. The richest and most dominant athlete in the world. His father, black. His mother, Thai. Well, it doesn't matter anymore because now he is officially black. Dave, the Asians have got to be upset.
There's no question about that, Robert. But he ought to think about it. He's been discriminated against in his time. He's had death threats. And he dates a white woman. Sounds like a black guy to me. Tiger's taking the stage there. And if you ask me,
wow.
Looking blacker already.
I'd like to say it's a tremendous opportunity for me. Finally be part of a race, have a home. Been so confused if I'm Cavalcade and so many things. So long, fried rice. Hello, fried chicken. I love you, Dad! I always wanted to say this. For shizzle.
Well, it seems as though Tiger Woods is happy to be black, and that's a good thing, because I just received word that he lost all his endorsements.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Oh, Amex, Tag, Heuer, Wheaties, the whole shebang-a-bang. Tough break, nigga. It's always foolish.
Right. Coming up now are the Jews. Many have speculated about their pick. I'm guessing they're going to pick Madonna and finish off the job Kabbalah started.
Yes, well, Rob, she was born and raised Catholic. Then she became a whore. But over the last decade, she has studied the Kabbalah. And she even wrote a Kabbalah's children's book.
Oh, here come the Jews. Why don't we take a look downstairs?
Today, we, the Jewish people, take Lenny Kravitz.
Wow, in a surprise move, the Jews picked Lenny Kravitz, folks.
He's actually half black and half Jewish. Mm. His mother was on The Jeffersons, a pivotal show in black culture, and his father, a Jew, was her lawyer. Couldn't make that up. Well, Lenny is all Jewish now. Unfortunately, Lenny can't make it here to accept. He's in Miami Beach.
Miami Beach? Well, he must have got that news about being Jewish early.
All right, the Latins are up now. Why don't we all take an escucha to their pit?
We the Latinos, Jews, Elian Gonzalez.
I don't understand that one.
We wanted to do this before the white people tried to adopt him as one of their own. Again.
Okay, guess whose turn it is? White people. Let's see what direction they go in. Halle Berry is still available, as is Mariah Carey's crazy ass.
Very mature, Rondell. Thank you all. Good afternoon. Excuse me. Pardon me. Hey, cut the malarkey. Okay, I'm talking. There's a white man talking up here. Silencio. Ungawa. Thank you. Damn it. We, the white delegation, are very proud to announce our pick this year, Colin Powell.
What? Colin Powell is not white. He's not even an eighth white. He's 100% black.
Last I heard.
Wow, I gotta wonder how the blacks are gonna be taking this one.
We, the black delegation, accept the white delegation's offer to draft Colin Powell on the condition that they also accept Condoleezza Rice as part of the deal.
Well, power is desperately needed by white people everywhere. We accept. You got yourself a goddamn deal.
Black delegation request Eminem.
Please, goddamn minute, Ron. Now, that's not part of the party.
Okay.
All right, well, no hustling me. I'm talking to the ultimate hustler. I tell you what, to make all things fair, we keep Eminem, you get O.J. Simpson.
Shut.
No, baby.
Incredible. A first round absolutely chock full of surprise.
Unbelievable. Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice now officially white. O.J. black again.
What a day. You know, if white people knew they were going to get away with picking a black person, I bet they would have picked Oprah.
Oh, well, absolutely, Rob. Thick thighs, no felonies. She definitely would have been a great pickup.
Okay, the Chinese delegation is up next. Although they're the last, they've been waiting with zen-like patience.
My guess is Yao Ming. He's been spending a lot of time with blacks learning slang and shit-talking. If they're not careful, they might lose.
The Asian delegation chooses the RZA, the GZA, the God, the Inspector Deck, Ghostface Killer, the Wu-Tang Clan!
What I have just heard with my own two ears. This is by far the biggest upset of the night. The Chinese delegation pulling a fast one and choosing the entire Wu-Tang Clan.
Brooklyn! Big boss, yo, because we've always been a fan of the kung fu and the Chinese culture and shit, so, yo, it's like bong bong, you know?
Yeah, I want to remind everybody to diversify your bonds, and RZA got an announcement to make.
Oh, yeah. Old Dirty has now changed his name from Dirt McGirt to the Old Dirty Chinese Restaurant.
Konnichiwa, bitches.
Oh, thanks for joining us on this incredible night. Our coverage ends here, but be sure to catch the rest on our website. Congratulations to all of the races, and konnichiwa, bitches.
Ah, so. With us right now, the mistress of Mount Airy, Cheryl Jones. Cheryl, happy holidays, baby. Are you there?
I'm fine. Happy holidays to you. Is it just me and you one night today?
No, it's you, me, and Big G in here. And
hey,
of course.
G, how are you? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Hey, good. Hey, you, girl.
Now, of course, the big game the weekend settlement of settlements will commence tomorrow. Show, give us the feedback from Philly as to what is going down as the Eagles look to take care of business like we're supposed to.
Wait,
up in New York against the Giants.
My brother bet me against his own team, and I won.
No,
I said,
no, Dow didn't do that. No.
Cowgirls, I said, Winston, Cowboys won two games in a row. They're not going to come to Philly and win. They're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I'm going to bet you. I'm going to bet you. He lost. He had to pay up to his sister.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, where's your pay for your team? And then he gave me a hard time about it. Talking about if you keep talking trash, I'm not paid. What kind of better are you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do I think about New York? I think it's going to be a rough one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a rough one. We're going to have to bring our A game. We're going to have to play like
there
we played last week. And then a little bit
so
of
our boys will handle their business?
They keep breaking up our poor team members. So, I think, you know, we got to bring our A game.
No doubt, no doubt.
Hopefully, Wentz will be his head will be in the game. The thing about him is, what I don't like to him is he throws to the same receiver.
Right.
With Foles,
that has been his problem. Right.
Open in the back, one of our running backs. He
exactly. Well,
and
that
then he train him not to just throw to the same damn guy because they defend him all the time. I mean, they go after him all the time. So
listen,
when
you and Ray Charles see that shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When he makes a touchdown on it with them, he threw to somebody other than what's his face. You know what I mean?
Other than Ertz. Yeah. No, you're right. Dallas got it. Dallas Goedert caught 9 passes, the most he has caught in any NFL game where Nick Foles wasn't the starting quarterback. And the bottom line is, the headline should have said,
whoever was open, whatever corner, whoever was open, that's who Nick Foles would throw to.
Yeah, and that's what made him. That's what made him effective.
First down, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's what made him effective. Foles would throw to whoever the fuck was open, and that's why the run pass option worked for him.
You're opening the left, and they looking at the right. I'm gonna throw to the left. Boom! There you go. Touchdown, Foles.
Exactly.
He don't do that, and I'm getting tired of it, and I don't understand why our coaches and stuff don't pick up and tell him, look,
This is what we need to understand. Donovan McNabb told the truth, and nobody wanted to hear him. This is where Carson Wentz has to earn his keep. He's been injured. He's mediocre at best. You know, Ertz caught balls. He put up statistics, but he didn't totally get that job done. Now, when Foles used him, he was just as effective because other people were in the fray. Nelson Aguilar probably played his best under Foles, and in all honesty, after practice, he was probably the target that Foles was throwing to. People forget about this. When the backup quarterback has to practice, he's got to have somebody to throw to. So when he came in, the first cat he threw to was Aguilar. That let me know that's the guy he was working with. And, of course, Aguilar was effective with him. Now we've got not as good talent, but just like with McNabb, McNabb made the best with what he had to work with. If Wentz can do that, then the Eagles will take care of business. But on that same page, guys, is Jerry Jones down in Dallas watching all of this. And the question is he going to pay all this money to this crazy-ass situation? We know he don't want to give Dak Prescott no big money. He doesn't want to pay anybody. And more importantly, he really doesn't want a black quarterback representing his Dallas Cowboys. So both of you guys, do you think Jerry will sign the check?
No.
No. Hell no, Jerry ain't going to sign the check. He don't want no head quarterback to be black for the Cowgirls. Are you kidding? Jerry has always been a redneck cracker, and he uses everybody on the field that he can use And you know, like, I used to like Dion. Dion played good ball. I like Dion. But he uses who he can use, but he's not going to sign a black – he ain't going to sign a black quarterback. He ain't going to give him that money. He ain't going to give – because that has set example for the rest of them in the NFL, and they don't want that. They don't want to pay us. They ain't never – and like I said, I don't feel sorry for them because y'all didn't shut the NFL when you should have so that you can make the ground rules of what you're going to accept and what you can't accept. And they didn't do it, so if they don't get the money, I don't feel sorry for them no more. I don't care. Kaepernick still ain't got no damn job. So guess what? I don't feel sorry for them no more. Y'all, they're a bunch of punks and wussies. Because God forbid I can't buy one more car. I can't drive. You can only drive one damn car. My family going to be hungry? No, they not. Not if not for one day. And you can play Poppy Play. That's fine. They give you. Monday, hanging out with your boys, playing superstar. Let's call it for what it is. They can't demand nothing because they didn't put the ground rules up and they didn't do what they needed to do so that them white boys that own NFL teams would listen up and talk into their car. Because without them, they ain't got no NFL.
We ain't going to give him no money. Black players need to walk out of the stadium. Walk out. You sit here, and you criticize Colin Kaepernick for doing what he did. And yet, you're still playing. Why are you still playing? See, we had to come to a Jesus moment. What I mean is this. We had to say, okay, you want to do this? We are not playing a game until you get this right.
Right.
Well, I agree on both. I agree on both points, guys. But now, Gary set this up earlier when he was talking about the kid from LSU, bro. We saw the Eagles make these huge jumps and spend all this money in the terms of trades and draft choices to get to the second spot where they could take Carson Wentz. Do you think that the Cowboys will do the same damn thing to get to one of the white quarterbacks that will be choice in next year's draft?
Oh, yeah, of course they will. And they're going to trade that black quarterback. My name ain't showing up what it is. He's going to go and say, you know they want the great white hope to be a quarterback. Quarterback ain't supposed to be one of us. He's supposed to be white.
Well,
no doubt about that.
I hate to disappoint Jerry Jones, but four of we have eight starting quarterbacks. Four are divisional winners. What does that tell you? What does that tell you, man?
Well, it tells you that Jerry is a Bubba. He's a redneck Bubba, and he's a designer Bubba. And what I mean by that is he may not have the Confederate flag on the back of his truck and the hound dog in there somewhere, but he can wear that three-piece suit and be just as redneck as everybody else.
Well,
and that's going to be his downfall.
Redneck.
Yes, exactly.
We know he's a redneck. He'll redneck.
Yeah.
He'll pay for a running back that's black or anything that can get him where he got to go. But he ain't going to get a full quarterback. He's not.
You're right.
He's not.
That's exactly right.
He wants a white boy. And he's probably.
That's exactly right.
Because they got some good white boys coming out. And that's what he's going to pay his money for.
He's going to pay to get one.
He's going to
pay
that black quarterback like a bad habit to somebody else in order for him to get a white boy to represent Dallas. Let's think about what we're talking about. We talk about the Golden Star. We talk about redneck state number one. Please.
Oh, you better believe the kid from LSU would be right at home. And this is no disparage on him. This is the reality of the NFL. You've got a bunch of rich white men and one female in there somewhere who own these teams. And you can be as good as you can be, but the NFL does not guarantee you a job. We've seen proof of that. And because of that, you were just talking about, they'll get rid of. Now, I think Prescott would fetch a first-round draft choice. So, yeah, if you trade him, you do so at your own peril. And, of course, Cam Newton is coming off injury, and Cam is going to be a viable trade piece. You know, even though Carolina's not keeping him.
He's up for a free agent contract, too. Cam's coming up for free agent.
Yep.
And you know what? Cam gets himself back in his head, back in the game. He's a beast. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, yeah, you know, they should want to learn from the lesson because, like, once the white boys get hurt, they can't play ball like they used to. They're not like the brothers. They don't endure like the brothers. Let's call
there
it spade a spade. It is what it is. They come back from horrific injuries. I'm talking about quarterbacks, linebacks, halfbacks. All of them come back from some injuries that you can't believe and like new.
That's right.
The fire is burning them. Them white boys get hurt, they hurt. And they don't come like we do. They
let's remember the reality of this. Dak Prescott is 39-24 as a starter. He has won a playoff game. So he has dipped his toe in the mix. And because of that, and because his career is literally just starting, I mean literally just starting, he's prime right now.
Yep.
You can take him and put him anywhere, and he will win games.
Yeah.
I don't know how well he will be in terms of long-term effectiveness, but for what he is right now, he is what the NFL says they want. Somebody who can help you win a game. If you get a great running back next to him and a couple good receivers, he might even be great. But you notice they never talk about a white quarterback needing help. That's always the myth. You know, the white guy's the leader. Well, you know, of course he can do this all by himself. And that's why Baker Mayfield's catching hell in Cleveland. Because the boy ain't shit. He wasn't shit to begin with. And even though they put superior talent around him like Odell and Landry and the running back Chubb, Cleveland is still less than a 500 club. Now, you can you imagine Prescott or Cam Newton with that same talent behind him in the center? Or even Jacoby Brissett.
They would be on
the
top.
They'd be a playoff team. Exactly.
My what is that the football that you've done? It's done so great. It's about a couple years.
Yeah.
And the NFL in 1996 did it. They didn't want a running quarterback.
No.
They insisted on not having a running quarterback. They made rules against running quarterbacks.
Yeah.
All right. Now, here comes Colin Kaepernick. Take the ragtag 49ers to the Super Bowl. And the playoffs.
Yep.
That one's first place.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Colin Kaepernick takes a knee. The protest, you lose 25% of your viewing audience every year. 25. That means you're losing money. What do you do to stand the tide of losing money? You change the game again, which is what they did.
That's right, you do. And because it.
Watson, Mahomes, Wilson has changed the game. Now they cannot deny the running quarterback.
Well, you're right, because the NFL needs them. They can't hide that anymore. They need them. When they market their teams, like the game that's coming up Sunday night, Seattle with Russell Wilson against San Francisco with one of their white hopes, Jimmy Garoppolo, they move that to prime time. They flip the script on the time They're playing the late game because they know that's the game everybody wants to see.
Exactly.
San Francisco played earlier, and he got big numbers from that. That was the game where Russell Wilson beat San Francisco in overtime 27-24. So now with their fractured schedule, they can flex that game to late game, which they did. But every time that Lamar Jackson and Baltimore has played, they got big ratings. You know, Jackson is 13-2, and even though he will likely not play, there's an interesting sidebar in effect here because Robert Griffin III will be starting at quarterback for Baltimore. Now, remember, Griffin got screwed by the league. He had the redneck quarterback, John Gruden, fuck him over, or Jay Gruden, whatever. They all look alike to me.
Jay Gruden.
They screwed him. Jay Gruden screwed Griffin. You know, they elevated Cousins, who still can't fucking play, but he's making $28 million a year. And Robert Griffin's injuries really almost put him out of the league, and it wasn't his fault. Now he's had time to heal.
Yeah.
He's actually working in an offense that's going to benefit him, just like with Jackson, because they don't have to change the offense. This offense suits Griffin as well. I will not be surprised if they decide to bench Jackson as is rumored. I would not be surprised to see Griffin be very effective in that offense because it plays to his skills as well. So what Griffin has is the opportunity to be Don Strock to Jackson's Dan Marino. But Strock was in the league for a long fucking time. And, of course, Marino was durable, and he played his ass off. But even when Marino couldn't play, every time Strock went in, he was very effective. You remember, he was in that great game where Miami played San Diego and Kellen Winslow was, like, being carried off the field because he was exhausted and stuff. Griffin can end up on the back end of this smiling because he would get paid, and getting paid is the best revenge, y'all. He could be a backup for the next 3-4 years behind Jackson with no problem. The offensive coordinator keeps his offense. They can be effective. He might get a Super Bowl ring or two, given good fortune and what could possibly happen. I mean, that's landing on your feet. And too often, we don't get the opportunity to do that because in the leagues, especially in the NFL, brothers got to be a superstar. If you're not a super nigga, you know you're not going to get no love. That's what they did to Cam. And look what they've done to Cam since he won MVP and played in the Super Bowl. They have torn his black ass everywhere but sideways. And I don't mean physically. They've been fucking with his head. Cam Newton is in a really strange place mentally because of what
he's
doing.
He's in a bad place. He ain't in a strange place. He's in a bad place. And he's very good. What Cam has to learn how he has to have somebody. He doesn't have somebody in his corner to talk to him and say, Cam, this is what they do to black players.
Yeah.
Wake up and play your game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
sad
because the boy's talented. They have to do with his head. He is messed up. He is mentally. And it's a shame.
Yeah.
He's talented.
You're right.
Sean,
you are 1,000% right because it doesn't matter the sport. You have to have a support system behind you. Look what's going on in Baltimore. You got this guy, Roman, coordinating plays for Jackson. They knew what Jackson can do. They know his strengths. And he has accepted those things. And Jackson has stopped the competition. I mean, I was rooting for Russell because Darren Wilson is my man, but Jackson has proven that he can handle the weight to be a bad motherfucker. And because of that, because Ozzie Newsome, the original general manager, believed in his talent, because the coach, John Harbaugh, believes in Jackson's talent, because the coordinator believes in him, he doesn't have any issues with the front office, upper management. They trust him. They want him to succeed. That wasn't the case in Washington with Robert Griffin. The coach was a redneck. He hated Robert Griffin. And the owner, Daniel Snyder, he don't know which way is up. So, of course, he didn't have a chance to succeed.
And then also, you know, Griffin also was trying to get them to play the game that would bring out the best in it. You know them coaches don't want to hear nothing from a nigga. Now, if it was a white boy, okay,
mm-hmm.
Donnie said,
mm-hmm.
let's play this way. Let's try it. But because Griffin was fat, and he probably,
yep.
he with the coach, said, Coach, do this,
mm-hmm.
and I can get this done for you. Oh, no, that nigga ain't going to tell me how to run my game. And that's,
mm-hmm.
But that's what the problem been with the Redskins from day one. Their coach is an asshole.
Yep.
He's
mm-hmm.
an asshole.
Coach is an asshole.
Coach is an asshole. Them boys get over there and get in his team, and they want to get traded. After a year, they want fucking out.
Yeah.
Don't nobody ask him wrong with talent. They want out. After a year under that asshole, they want out.
Well, that's
one out.
Cheryl, you just hit an important point because
they will never be dead again. Will never win the Super Bowl with that name. I don't care what they do.
I agree. Well, Gary, I agree with you. But guys,
he can't get it done. He don't know how to treat players.
Think about this.
He don't respect the players. So you ain't making no money. He ain't bringing you.
That's right. No, you're right about that.
But they'll hold on.
But Cheryl, Gary, think about this. The most important thing that we're seeing here is now that quarterbacks are becoming successful, the likelihood that players will want to go there when they become free agents makes it even more important. You can't tell me after Baltimore has been successful the way they have been, if somebody's a free agent and they want to go anywhere, because remember, the NFL is supposed to be union shops. You don't think that some of them be thinking, you know what? Baltimore might be a cool destination. I got a shot for a Super Bowl. Why not go to Baltimore? Why not go to Charm City? So now all the brothers, are going to be thinking, yeah, Baltimore might be the spot. But shit, oh, you know, Russell's doing it. I go out there to see what I can help him out with there.
Yeah.
The landscape is getting darker, which means more options for the brothers. And because there's more options,
he
has nothing to do with it.
Like, come on with me and let's do the damn thing. Shit, you
and they know he's done the. They know. Yeah, they know that he is battle tested. They know that Jackson, this will be his year to be battle tested. They know what Mahomes can do. You know, maybe somebody wouldn't have thought to go to Kansas City or go out to the Midwest, but now that Mahomes is there. Shit, why not? We know Mahomes will get the yards, to get the touchdown.
Right,
he will win games. Exactly.
Here's the scenario. So, you have Cam Newton, Teddy Bridgewater, and who's the third guy? Three quarterbacks.
Newton, Bridgewater. I can't think off the top of my head who the third one is right now. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so these three guys
mm-hmm.
will get starting positions in 2020, right?
Yeah.
That means there'll be 11 Latin starting quarterbacks.
Oh, you know they count
the first time in history, double digits.
Yeah, they count. They're not going to let the league get too black.
They got some good running backs coming out. They got, it's a lot coming out this year for 2020. They got a lot coming up through the plate. They got a lot to pick for this year when they do the draft.
They're going to be keeping an eye on things, no doubt.
Some bad white boys, too.
We know they got bad white boys. And see, our issue here is that it ain't about play. It's best man plays. If the man for the position is the best for the position and he's white, shit, welcome to the party. You know, as much as I don't care, as much as I know Carson Wentz ain't shit, that don't mean I'm not going to be rooting for the Eagles.
Michael, it, Michael, it depends on where they come from or how they're, you know, if they're football and they're down. And just because they're
exactly.
right, then he might be a yeah. good player with the brothers. You look at Drew Brees, his team died for him. You understand
exactly.
he had
exactly.
that attitude. That we gonna
That's
do
a
that.
Central point you just
I
brought up, Shaw.
I don't do it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind
You're right.
of attitude he has. If the white boy got that kind of attitude, yeah, the brothers will be down with him. And they'll get the
mm-hmm.
damn job
That's exactly
done.
Right.
But if he come in here like he's a golden child, like that asshole on the Patriots, hell no. They ain't gonna rock with him.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Well, obviously, you know they got a cheap L. Tom Brady, but you make a great point about Drew Brees. You know, Brees, it seems everybody likes the guy. His receivers play well for him. And we can
yes,
see the same
do.
Things in Drew Brees that we see when Seattle plays and Russell Wilson's receivers lay out for him. They all
right.
want him to succeed. So
exactly.
if Brees got it like that, obviously, he has the respect of the huddle. The respect of the huddle and the respect of the locker room is everything.
Yes.
The boy's laying out for you, you ball. And that's really all it comes down to. And I don't
yeah.
see that in Cleveland's locker room because Baker Mayfield
no.
does not engender that kind of response.
No.
He
right.
thinks it's all about me. I'm getting fucking commercials and all this other horse shit. And he ain't won shit yet. He hasn't been without a winning season yet. You know, Russell Wilson didn't say shit. He came into the league, he won 11 games right off the bat. And they'll say it was his defense. But they can't say shit about his defense now. He's in the league 8 years. He's won more games than any quarterback ever. Not
in the league.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Ever.
Exactly.
And because of that, you
well,
got to respect that.
And you do. You got to respect that. That's why, you know, I like the Saints as my secondary team as opposed to my Eagles, but I respect Drew Brees because that's what he puts out in the universe. The Patriots
exactly.
win. Oh, the Patriots win, but he's an arrogant asshole. The guy that he throws out to is asshole, and he owes this shit. He ain't going
mm-hmm.
to get much more out of him. What you going to do
mm-hmm.
when his two old asses is gone? Because other than
exactly.
that, they ain't got no damn
thing. Well, I heard it come for you. Big game is tomorrow night. San Francisco against Seattle. And listening to the radio the past 2 days,
mm-hmm.
it's been a circus. I wonder what they know. What they know is they're comparing the Big Garoppolo. And there is no comparison between the two.
Nope. But you see, they're so twisted because there are no white heroes yet that they'll reach out and try to formulate some sort of nonsense to imply that Garoppolo is better than Wilson. Wilson has a Super Bowl ring for fuck's sake. He's been in back-to-back Super Bowl.
Even on a bad day, Russell's better than what's the name?
Exactly, but see,
they'll tell you
that this kid is the best thing since sliced bread.
Well, Garoppolo has not won a single ball game yet.
Thank you.
Zero.
And San Francisco's got a nice
condition. And then they'll see. That white bread ain't what they crack up to be. There's been
mm-hmm.
a couple of them that built up like that in one shit.
Yep.
So, you know. And
once
remember,
they got Garoppolo,
it, I thought myself couldn't play worth a shit. But, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Remember, Garoppolo came from New England, and I think in all likelihood he was going to be or should have been the successor to Tom Brady's cheap ass. But that caused the rift between Belichick and Kraft. Garoppolo ended up in San Francisco, but they didn't even hesitate. He had only won 5 games, and they gave him a $137 million contract. Look how hard Russell had to work for his money. And then they had the nerve to say, is he really worth the money? Do we really pay this brother $35 million? Yes.
Michael, the brothers always got to work harder. And then they
you know that. That's right. We know the brothers got to work for their cash.
But you know what? It is the way it is because they don't stand together as brothers. This is what you get. You get fucking money. You got to make a stand. You got to draw your line in the sand and tell them now, step over, motherfucker. We'll shut down the NFL. They won't do it. And it's sad.
They won't do it. You know they won't do it. That's exactly right.
They should get paid their work. They should get paid their work. These white boys get all this money. Half the time they get hurt one good time and get paid to be on the sidelines. And the brother or another secondary quarterback get them to the playoffs and shit like that.
Yep.
Foles should have been offered a contract. I'm sorry. Wentz is not the same. He ain't going to be the same. And I'm going to give him another year or two and they're going to get ready to trade his ass.
That's right. But you see, you know what, Cheryl, you hit it right on the head. This is a perfect example of putting bad money after good because they overpaid to get Wentz ass in the first place. When Foles showed up, and remember, Foles was a fourth-round draft pick. You know, when the opportunity came, he showed he could play, and they let him go. Now, the situation in Jacksonville being what it is, they may let Foles go because contracts are not worth the paper they're written on if he doesn't play. So, theoretically, depending on what happens to Philadelphia in the postseason, Nick Foles would be welcomed back, or as Tony calls him, Big Dick Nick, would be welcomed back to Philadelphia with open arms because he did the work. Nick Foles will never have to buy a meal or get a drink out of his pocket in Philadelphia ever again in his life. He could be 83 years old. Somebody recognize him. Somebody get Nick's tab. We got him covered. He good. He good. You eat whatever you want, Nick, because Nick got them that
great. He whatever he wants in Philadelphia. Trust him.
That's right.
Whatever he wants. The city respects
That's exactly right.
him. They respect him.
And I really don't think that Carson Wentz, and I want him to prove me wrong. I don't think he can handle Philadelphia.
But I think he's a family man. That injury took something out of him. He does not play ball like he played ball when we first got him. He don't play nowhere near as hard as he used to play. Now, I know we watch him every day and Sunday.
But ladies and gentlemen, I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to beat the
They weren't even able to sack his ass. Now he's sacked all the damn time. Come on. You don't see the handwriting on the ball? He's not the same, and they offered him all that damn money.
That's right.
I
wouldn't
offer
so
him that money until I see how he played the next year.
Exactly. So now we're going
to
see. Now we're going to see what happens, Cheryl. If Philly does what they're supposed to and they beat the Giants, they end up in the playoffs. They'll be the fourth seed and they'll have a home game against San Francisco or Seattle. And then we'll see what happens because DeSean Jackson might be back by then. People who are hurt might be healing, and you got a fair fight. We'll see what's what, and we'll see if Carson Wentz can general the Eagles through that. I don't think he can, but I want him to prove me wrong. You know, as an Eagle, as somebody who bleeds green, objectively, I want him to prove me wrong. But I don't think it's going to happen. And if,
let me tell you something. And another thing, Foles play good under pressure.
Yes, he does. We haven't seen it yet.
He can't play good under pressure.
We haven't seen it yet. What did we say, Cheryl? He gets an incomplete grade because he hasn't done it yet. We don't see a full body of work. Nick Foles has been up and down, but when it was pressure time, he played well. And not only did he do it in the Super Bowl either, he did it the following year and almost. If Marshawn Jeffrey catches the fucking ball, he might be in the playoffs again as well. So Nick Foles has done this. We don't question him because he has the pedigree. He confirmed it. And again, he won't ever have to buy a meal or a drink in Philadelphia ever again for the rest of his
won't.
Life.
He
even his even his kids might
anywhere.
Get free meals.
He
yeah,
can
exactly.
walk the street anywhere in Philadelphia and they would know him and he would get the utmost respect.
Exactly.
It's up in the air. It's up in the air.
Yeah.
Up and down. He is not consistent. So if he do good, like I argue, Michael, I'll be surprised. I don't think he's going to get it done. I really don't.
I don't think so either.
Really
we'll see, Cheryl. We'll see what happens. But Gary, we got to ask because as surprising as it is, there is a very, very outside chance that your Oakland Raiders might, and I mean might, get in the postseason.
They're not going to play out. There's too many things that can happen. It's not going to happen.
But considering everything that happened, how did you see the season out there with the Raiders moving and everybody knowing that they're going to move? How was the fan loyalty? How frustrating is it to know that Oakland is not going to have a pro team anymore?
Okay. This is the thing. Raider fans are the most loyal fans on the planet. And this is what this is what I said. You had a team that moved to LA for 12
right.
years,
mm-hmm.
straight LA, and come back to Oakland. Now, any other guy would say, the hell with you, move on. Not Raider fans. Raider fans welcome them back with open arms. When they move this time, it's going to be a different story. People always, they are pissed off with this. Because, one, the Raiders did not work with the Oakland to get a deal done.
Interesting.
Al Davis, Davis wanted more money.
Right.
See, Oakland said, we're not doing it. We're done. We're done. That's why the Raiders are moving to Vegas. And they have more money in Vegas.
Yeah. But just like the Raiders did it, and almost creating Southwest Airlines because they had so many people flocking them back to Los Angeles to watch them play.
Yes.
Do you think the Las Vegas Raiders will engender that same kind of support because they'll be in the desert?
No.
This is very different. This is the feeling when Raiders move this time, they're gone. Now, there'll be a few Raiders fans that will go down there, but the majority of Raider fans, they are done.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out. So there really is resentment now that they're moving to Las Vegas. They're not going to be as many fans following them this time because of
No.
No, they're not going to move to Vegas.
Nah.
What's going to happen is the LA Raider fans will go to Vegas.
Okay.
Many Raider fans down there that would go to Willis Stadium.
Interesting. But you know, there's one other factor we haven't considered, and that's gambling. When you go to Las Vegas, it's almost kind of hard to not put something in a slot machine or whatever. So having said that, the league, I don't think, is going to be as diligent when it comes to gambling or sports gaming as they want to say it because they're making gobs of money with this right now. I mean, Pennsylvania now has gaming. 19 states have sports gaming.
Michael, it's a fad. You know, like anything else, it's exciting in the beginning, but does it have longevity? People ain't gambling like they used to gamble.
That's true,
because
they don't have that money anymore.
And the odds of them, you winning big money off of them, is not as great as they try to make it out to be.
people ain't
that's
stupid.
True.
And that's what they're banking on people to be stupid and get caught up. And they're not.
Yeah, you're right.
They're being a little wiser mm-hmm. with their money.
Yep. They are. And you're
but
right.
We got,
the,
you know,
the,
Ronald McDonald head in the White House. You know, you got to save your pennies. Because you don't know what
mm-hmm.
the hell he going to do. He's in the bed
mm-hmm.
with all our enemies.
That's right.
You don't know what he's going to bring forth.
That's exactly right.
Because he's alienated so many people. People are spending money, but they're not spending money like it is because they don't know. He's getting ready to try to gut Medicare and Social
mm-hmm.
Security and all this kind
yep.
of shit.
Yep.
And this is
mm-hmm.
why he has to be stopped.
That's right. Gary, same thing. You believe the same?
Yeah, I do. I think what's happening. One of the Vegas Raiders is gonna
mm-hmm.
be caught in a thing and gonna blow up in about faces.
Ooh.
I see it coming. One of the players is gonna get messed up with gambling and it's gonna
mm-hmm.
blow up.
You know, you're not wrong, Jeep, because it's already happened. There was a practice squad player for the Arizona Cardinals who was betting. And I won't say that he had inside information or anything like that,
but there's reason to believe
that he might have. And you're talking about 1,700 players.
Yeah.
You look at all the rosters, that's not counting the practice squad players or anything like that, but 1,700 roughly players. What are the odds, guys, of one of these motherfuckers not wanting to bet, or thinking, yeah. I mean, but remember, most of these cats are young, you know. For the most part, we're talking about people between the early 20s and then early 30s.
And
right. So you're talking about these folks with money. And
right.
if one of them has an addictive personality, that's all it takes.
That's right.
You get one guy betting, and then if he thinks inside information is going to help him, it's going to be a huge mess. And we know the league is making big money from fantasy football. They're making big money. There are 19 states that have sports gaming right now. 19. And we know in Colorado, kids are eating school lunch for free because they made so much money from marijuana that they got the kids taken care of. But marijuana is not sports gaming. New Jersey, on the other hand, has that, and they are transforming everything here. New Jersey might be a jazzy state to live in because of the money they've made off of sports gaming over the last couple of years, and there's more to come. So imagine how big the playoffs become now. Imagine how big the Super Bowl becomes now, because everybody and their mama is going to be betting on something or somebody in the playoffs.
It's going to be very ugly. I think with the Raiders being in Vegas,
mm-hmm.
every home game. And opening for somebody to mess up.
Yeah.
Let's
consider an expansion outside the country as well, guys, because Jacksonville and London have been running games back and forth for 5 or 6 years now. And the owner, Shad Khan, of the Jacksonville Jaguars, is based in London. So we know that a Super Bowl outside the United States is a real possibility in, say, 5 years or so. Cheryl, as much as you love your Eagles, as much as I love my Eagles, if they ever said that the Super Bowl was going to be a pay-per-view event, I would not pay one fucking dime. What about you?
No, I wouldn't pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
My brother Daryl would go because his girlfriend works with an airline. But the price of the airfare tickets would be ridiculous. And air and hotels would be ridiculous. And the average
That's
adult
right.
can't afford that.
No.
They cannot afford
That's exactly
that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Brings up another point. Transitional year, they had to grudgingly admit, like they've seen for years, that black talent is going to get them over. But now they're really burnt because black talent at the most important position is what's going to get them over. They're not going to be watching some mediocre white boy anymore. They're not going to be watching the Mitchell Trubisky's of the world or any of these other guys that are trying to blow up or Baker Mayfield and his mediocre ass. They want to see Lamar Jackson because he's good. They want to see Pat Mahomes because you never know when he'll throw for 500 yards. They want to see Watson because he just quietly destroys the competition. The people they want to promote are the people they don't want to promote because they don't want to see those black faces at quarterback. That dispels so many myths about what black people can do, and especially black males, that is working their nerves. And as they transition through this, they are hoping, amongst hope, that those white quarterbacks they do draft turn out to be what they want so they can make the league what they want. But they know they can't get rid of their brothers now. They're making too much money off of them. And on top of everything else, they got to recognize that you can't make no, you can't cook without no fat in the can. And the brothers are definitely cooked. So. That's the reality of the situation. Now, guys, having said that, we are about to close down because we are going to put in an edition of Pro Talk to finish off the afternoon's festivities. G, are you doing the show at the top of the hour?
No, we're not. We'll be all off. We got, I had to go to the doctor today, though.
All right, so no, we are dark for the rest of the day. We're dark for the rest of the day, so, guys, give us a final word, things to think about. Cheryl, you first, please.
My final thought is these brothers need to take, you know, do what they got to do for the NFL. I'm getting tired of them being punk. They need to stand up to the plantation owners and flex their muscles.
Yep.
Do what they need to do to get the coins in the bags that they really want and stop being afraid. Because they don't have no NFL without them. That's the reality of it. We see that, and we don't even play football. You know what I mean?
Yep. Shameless plug, please.
And my shameless plug is for Little Scholars Academy, 2010 Ron Street. Our phone number is 342-9500. We're taking applications for registration.
Right.
Get in while you can. Because by April, we're going to be full for the next year.
Later on. We got to also give a shout-out to Danielle, who is doing such an amazing job. You know, your daughter is doing serious work. Give everybody the number there.
Her and her partners, Danielle, Taisha, Carol, they have done an awesome job in maintaining the quality and quantity of our education system at our school. We are not a babysitting school. We are a learning school, and our kids test very well when they go into kindergarten in the public school system or private school. They score well.
Give us a number.
The phone number is 215-342-9500. Give us a call. You set up a tour, and they'll tell you what you need to come in and get you on the waiting list. And we thank the mayor for the pre-K program, for the 20-cent tax for kids to go to school who parents wouldn't be able to afford to send them to school.
Very good. Very good. Well, again, Ashe, Little Scholars Academy. Thank you, Shell. Thank you, Danielle and crew. Have a great one. And, of course, go Eagles. We'll see you in the new year, sweet.
Yep.
Big G, set it up for us, brother.
Yes, sir. This weekend, Don Imus. But also remember Don Imus. He was a broadcaster in New York City's radio station.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In 2007, Mr. Imus went after the Rutgers basketball team, calling a nappy-headed Holmes.
You sure did. I remember that.
And he got fired back. But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm. And he was
this is what white privilege will do.
Mm-hmm.
White privilege gets you this. After a year, 2 years, he got a job, mm-hmm. another job by the radio station. That's white privilege.
Oh,
if an African American has a disparity about the University of Notre Dame, he mm-hmm. would never get a job again.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
This is the hypocrisy of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm a cracked a joke on the Rutgers women's basketball team and nobody batted an eye.
Yeah.
But yet, mm-hmm. we had this move in the White House, we do exactly the same thing. And
yep.
America, wake your ass up.
You ain't lying, wake your ass up. Yeah. Don Imus passed at 79 years old. He was an observant radio host with WNBC and the sports station on WFAN. His brand of humor did not sit well with me. They made the statement about nappy-headed hoes. Everybody was on his ass, and rightfully so. But the thing that made me even more annoyed had to do with the black people who responded to him. What I mean is, the so-called Black Journalists Association, they went out of their way to make a statement about him. There was so much shit that was going on prior, and we didn't hear a fucking peep out of them.
Nothing.
As far as I'm concerned, fuck NABJ and fuck the Pennsylvania Association of Black Journalists, too, because they ain't shit. The bottom line in all of this is that they only rose to the occasion because they felt they could get some pub from this. They weren't trying to do any real work. And I can say this because I've worked for black newspapers. These motherfuckers ain't shit. They're a bunch of posers. So when Imus fed them the red meat of the nappy-headed hoe statement, they were appalled. They were appalled. They were just like, you better do something, otherwise somebody's going to punk you out. The Pennsylvania Association of Black Journalists punked themselves out, and the National Association of Black Journalists also punked themselves out because they picked that fucking issue instead of doing work on all the other issues that may not get you the 15 minutes of fame but might prove to be really important to the community overall. I don't want to say I'm the brother in the barbershop, as Tony likes to say, because I've been in that barbershop. And I forgot, Show, you worked for the paper too. So the long and short of it is, if you're going to work for the black community, then you got to do the work. Don't just wait for something where you think it's going to be something you can jump in on. You got to get to work every day and let them know about what's going on in the community, how the community is better, how it's affected by certain things. Don't just pick a moment to just jump in like Peter does when they talk about hurting animals and fur and all the other stupid shit that they pick. At least they pick targets. All we do is pick our nose. So Imus brought something else that there. And they opened that. People weren't thinking about it initially. But the longer it sits there, the longer it lingers. And you don't speak ill of the dead, but let's just say what I miss said was a wake-up call for a lot of folks. Now, having said that, we will be on tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. with our final command performance of the year, Michael Jackson and Prince. Who's bad? We're going to find out. We're going to let them brothers go at it for 2 days.
We're going to let them battle. That's going to be a good
battle. There you go. There you go. 9 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, Michael Jackson, the king of pop, and the Prince who says he's funky. We're going to see who's bad for the rest of us here, for Sonic Show, for Big G, Gary Norris, Greg, and all the staff members who are on assignment. Have a great weekend. Please go safe once you get from A to B and back to A-OK. We are out.